You're listening to the Girl Banker Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bartholomew. The Twigs Group loves community bank marketing. Your marketing activities must include consistent content, authentic messaging, and many other creative components to grow your market share and connect with your customers. Visit welovecommunitybanks.com to see how the Twigs Group can help you with your bank marketing. I'm so excited to have one of my favorite coworkers, one of my favorite girl bankers here in the makeshift studio. If you could only see what we're using to record with, like, there is absolutely nothing glamorous about this. But I have Jackie Serrano, and Jackie is at Grand Savings Bank here with me, and she is over training. She is also a connoisseur aficionado of all things personality tests, etc. So she's going to talk to us about that today. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you. So excited to be here. I feel like you're really talking me up. So I'm interested to see how this goes, but I'm excited to be here and excited to talk about a little bit about my banking career and then about the different personality assessments that we use both in the bank and that Natalie and I just like to look at when we're on Instagram or on social media or what have you.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really popular topic that's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners. So I'm super pumped to have you here. I'm also excited to welcome you on board the plant lady train.
Yes. Yeah. So I was a plant killer until, hi, my name is Jackie and I was a plant killer until probably maybe 6 months, 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Natalie was posting about her plants and just some of the things she was doing. And so that inspired me to start my own plant collection. I got a heart leaf
philodendron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that right, but we call him the Terminator, and he's pretty great.
He's so beautiful.
He's gorgeous.
He is most definitely outperforming my Hartley philodendron. So yeah, well done.
He's beautiful. He lives here in the office, so it's kind of fun just to see him. And then we've gathered a couple more plants. My son has somehow become a plant man.
Good.
Through this. And so he has 5 plants total, which mom takes care of, which is fun. And then I have my 2 plants that we take care of. So yeah, fun stuff. I feel like people are into it right now. It helps with anxiety. It helps with having something to do.
Air purification.
Yes. And NASA, I don't know if you've seen this, but NASA has a list of like top 10 plants that purify your air. And it's something fun to look into. Now, of course, you do have to have several plants. Like, it's not just the one is going to do it for you.
You need several.
Yeah, you need to have a couple, but it's kind of cool that is an option with plants, and you just have them and they're pretty, and hopefully they don't die.
It's such a fun hobby. I'm glad to see that we're bringing it to the office. I mean, mm-hmm. we spend as much time here as we do at our home, so we might as well bring our plant hobby here as well.
And purify our air.
And purify
the
air.
You're welcome, coworkers. I'm keeping you safe.
Purifying that air. I wonder what kind of personality or Enneagram type likes plants. Do you know this?
I don't, but I do know that some of the accounts I follow will do like if an Enneagram was a plant type. I believe, so I'm an Enneagram 7, and I believe it's the snake plant you're most like.
The snake plant is one of my favorite. And a fun fact, they thrive on neglect. So Jackie, do you thrive on neglect?
Yes. And coffee. No, but it was something about, I think, their appearance and like they like, I'm not really sure what it was about, honestly, but they kind of had like plants were Enneagram styles and they had the breakdown. I didn't look at yours. I didn't look at the 3 to see mm-hmm. which one it was. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. I think most of our listeners are going to resonate more with the Enneagram mm-hmm. because it's kind of the in vogue thing right now. You see it all over Instagram. It's talked about a lot. You know, Brené Brown, it's done podcast about mm-hmm. it. You just see it everywhere. What is your favorite personality assessment format or brand or whatever they're called?
Sure, yeah. And I think for me, for personal, at least right now, it's definitely going to be the Enneagram. I think it's the most interesting and the most talked about right now. But you know, personality assessments are cyclical, so they will go in cycles. So I know they were very in like early 90s and then kind of went out. I think Myers-Briggs maybe took over and then they came back in. So it's going to change, you know, year by year. I think there's the most information and the most resources out there for you to be able to figure out what Enneagram type am I or what personality type. And I know one of the things we've talked about is the assessments, because you've taken one for the Enneagram, correct?
Yes.
Or are you self-assessed, like self-diagnosed?
I did take an assessment. Okay. Now, I will say it was a relatively quick assessment. It wasn't like it took a really long time. I did not pay for it. So I don't know if it's watered down. But I will say that other threes that I know, I'm a lot like them. So I'm going to assume that by my self-assessment that it's correct.
Well, and that's good to be able to self-assess, because I know, you know, one thing you and I talk about is people who will look at their personality assessment, whether it's personal or in the workplace, which we will talk about some workplace appropriate assessments. The Enneagram is very in-depth. So I think if you bring it into the workplace, you're working with a lot of information, and I feel like it's a little bit more personal, but that's just my take on it. And I'm just one person. But so many people are like, this isn't me. I'm reading through this and this doesn't feel right. And well, assessments are just meant to do that. They're meant to box you into either the Enneagram types or the Myers-Briggs types, or we'll talk about DISC as well. That's what its job is. So you also have to be able to take in some of that information and self-reflect and say, yes, this is who I am, or this really doesn't ring true to me. And maybe when I was taking the assessment, I was under a lot of stress, or I was in a hurry, or I was thinking, I really wish I was X type, and that's what you pegged yourself as for the assessment. So there always could be some error.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, you don't have to necessarily retake it. You can probably do a little bit more self-assessment and self-diagnosis yourself.
Right. So when you are talking about for the workplace, what is your favorite personality assessment specifically for a banking environment?
Yeah.
What would you recommend our listeners that are interested in doing this with their teammates? And also talk about the benefits of doing that and how it can help with training and development, management, all of the above.
Absolutely. So the one I have used most often, actually probably most often, would be the DISC assessment. So to kind of give you some context to the DISC assessment, there are four types that you're working off of. I'll give you a tiny bit of information, but I do think it's important that you also do your own research to see if this is something that would be beneficial. But with your DISC assessment, you are looking at behavioral theories. And so if you're thinking about behavior, behavior can be modified and changed, and that's what you're looking at with the DISC. How can I best modify myself to be more successful with others? And like I said, there's four types. So the breakdown begins by being divided into, are you either people-oriented or task-oriented, right? So people-oriented people, I feel like you can always tell, right? They're like, the good morning, how are you? How's it going?
Right.
How was your weekend? It's me.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a people-oriented person. And you also
Which
have
people... Which is why you're the trainer.
Right.
And why you're giving these assessments.
Right. And you also have people who are task-oriented. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you just have two different behaviors that you're working off of. And then you're also looking at, is this person more reserved in their communication style and their thinking style, or are they more active? Like I like to say, you can always tell the active one a little bit more often because they talk quicker. They're kind of going through information very quickly, kind of like I am. So I am people oriented and I am active, but you can have four different types that you fall under. And so the four types are going to be the D style, which tends to stand for dominance. I will say these headers, it kind of depends on which assessment type you use. So yours may be a little bit different than the one that I'm using. But D is for dominance. The I style is for influence. The S style is going to be for steadiness. And the C style is going to be for conscientiousness. For me, I think the DISC style is best because there's only four categories. It's easy to take in. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at personality. You're not looking at Myers-Briggs, which is 16. So it's even more. That would be a lot of information to take in. The way we use it here, we use it for our new employees. We do this assessment one of the first things when you're hired within your 90 days. And then we really use it to talk about the ways in which you can modify your behavior to work better with others, right? So what does communication look like with your DISC style? What does teamwork and leadership, and more importantly, in my opinion, what does conflict look like with your style? A lot of people like to say, you know, conflict in the workplace isn't good. I mean, I think there can be healthy conflict and healthy ways to go through that information. So
yeah, and proper ways to work through it.
Absolutely. And I mean, conflict isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you can work through that information together. So that's mainly what we focus on with our new employees, is focusing on communication. What does your teamwork style look like? What does your conflict style look like? In general, what are going to be some of the traits? And we also talk about their direct opposites. So since DISC is 4, you have one that's always your direct opposite. And that's probably going to be the person that you jive with the least in the office. And it's important for you to know that, though, because if I already know I'm predisposed to this information and I know my coworker, maybe I'm assessing them as a certain type and they're opposite than me, I already know, okay, let me bring in this behavior into the workplace to try and make this a better environment for both of us. So what I like to say with DISC is, as fun as it is to learn about yourself, and it's great, you know, all of us like to learn about ourselves and talk about ourselves, and that all is great. You also want to learn about the other types to learn how to modify your behavior. And it's not just for the sake of modifying, it's for the sake of success for the team.
For the team, yes.
So I would say that's my favorite. You've taken it, Natalie. What's your take on the DISC assessment?
Well, we both worked at a financial institution where that was really ingrained early on in your career there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's one of my favorite ones to do because I learned the most about, as you mentioned, how to deal with conflict with those that are on the opposite side. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite times with you, with our branch managers, so you mentioned that we do this with our new employees. We also did it with our branch managers as an opportunity for them to reflect about not only themselves, but how they can be better managers with their team. And I remember you were handing out the results because they had taken the test online. Of course, we had bought the test, right? Or the assessment. They had taken it. They hadn't seen the results. And so you're handing it out. And there were some of them in there that I had already kind of figured. I'd already boxed them in for them, I guess. And as they were kind of having these aha moments of, oh, this makes so much sense. Oh, now I understand why I handle conflict this way or deal with situations this way, and this person on my team does it differently. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool to see them kind of coming around to, oh, conflict with them doesn't have to look this way. It can now look this way. Mm-hmm. And that to me is really, that's progress.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to tell them, you know, it's just tools. That's all it is. It's like before, maybe you didn't have the proper verbiage. Nobody ever told you what it meant. Like you can know things, but once you attach a word or a certain, like I said, verbiage to it, it's like it clicks in your brain and it makes so much more sense. But all it is it's tools to help you out. And I tell them all the time, anybody who comes through the DISC training with me, use it in your work life, but even more so, use it in your personal life too. Like, why not take this information home? You know, if you're married, if you have children, how much can it help your just overall day to day? And so I definitely use this at home. My husband, of course, has taken the DISC assessment and we are complete opposites in every regard. And so that just goes to show, while typically we should have a lot of conflict, you can work through those issues. And so I tell people, you know, if I can work through that in my marriage, I feel like in the workplace, you can work through any issues that may come up. And so it's just kind of fun to take it in the workplace, but also take it home, you know, talk to your loved one about it, talk to your child about it. Well, children may be a little bit too young, but you know, it's just such a fun thing to get other people engaged in as well.
Yeah. And I remember too, having that conversation with the managers for them to take it home and to think about how their spouse would land on it. And I know personally, my spouse and I are completely opposite in the way that we interact. And so it definitely gave me a lot of perspective from a leadership side, but also in the house, in the home.
Absolutely. In his own. Yeah. Well, and I know I am not naturally, I can be detail oriented with things I care about, but in general, it doesn't come natural to me to be very detail oriented. My husband on the other side, very detail oriented. So I know if I'm going home and we're going to have a certain conversation, I better have all those details lined out. I better be prepared. But me knowing that and then him knowing I don't really care about the details, when we're going into certain conversations, we can flex. And that's what I like to call it. You're just flexing to one another, making it a better relationship, whether it's with your coworkers, whether it's with your supervisor, mm-hmm. whether it's with your leadership, or whether it's in the home in whatever capacity that looks like. You're just flexing to make it a better situation for everybody.
So let's talk about Myers-Briggs, because it is a much more in-depth analysis or assessment. Takes a lot longer to mm-hmm. complete. I first took the Myers-Briggs assessment when I was going into my first year of graduate school of banking in Colorado. It's kind of an introductory class they have for your first year students. And I remember how they separated the class out based on how everyone felt after receiving their assessment results. And it was very interesting to see how everyone was separated out. I would say, though, that at that point in my life, so that was in 2013, a good 7 years ago, I was in the very extroverted group and felt like I belonged there. I know that recently I took a shortened version that you sent me, mm-hmm. and I was kind of in the middle with tendencies to go toward the introverted side. So that makes me wonder, have I changed? Has the pandemic done this to me? Or was I not being completely honest with myself when I first took it 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it could be a mix of things. You know, some of these assessments, as you're researching them, they'll say, well, your core behavior or your core personality will never change unless you go through some sort of traumatic event or there's some sort of major change in your life. So it could have been a mix of many things. It could have been just that you were, you know, you were young. You didn't want to be pegged into that specific like type. So you mistyped yourself. Or it could have been that, you know, something traumatic such as a pandemic, mm-hmm. which is very traumatic for everybody, happened. And that just kind of changes your perspective. But yeah, Myers-Briggs is very interesting. It is 16 personality types and it's based off of four letters. The four different types of letters that they're breaking you into, it is going to be whether you're extroverted or introverted. So where is your energy source coming from? Do you like to be around people? Like, do you get more energized around people after you've been around them? Or do you get more energized when you've had some time by yourself? It looks at, are you someone who is more sensing or more intuition when it comes to taking in meaning of information? So are you sensing, taking it in, or are you going off of your intuition? Or I like to call it like your gut reaction. I'm a gut reaction person. Mm-hmm. If my gut tells me something, to me, it's like, ooh, it means something. Yes. Not everybody is like
my
that.
My gut has spoken.
Yes. Some people are like, that means nothing. It could just mean you're hungry. Very true, but I'm going with
right.
it. The other thing it looks at is, are you more thinking oriented or more feeling oriented? And lastly, are you more judging with information or are you perceiving the information? So it has those four breakdowns. You're one or the other. And then based on those four breakdowns, you can have 16 different personality types. And so that was a really great one too. For the workplace, I could see it being overwhelming for a facilitator, whether it's a trainer or whoever does that facilitation. It could be a lot. But in smaller groups, I do think it could work. And it's something fun to bring into the workplace. I think the more we know about each other in the workplace, and sometimes it takes things like this for us to uncover that information. But the more I know about you, the more I can figure out how we can work better together. And you know me, I'm all about collaboration, about working better with people. So I'm all about that. I know not everybody is. Mm-hmm. But I think long term, the more we know about each other, the better we work together, the better it's going to be for the organization.
For sure. So this might be a good segue to kind of back into how you got into banking and how all of this works for you and your training and what you do here at Grand Savings Bank.
I would have never thought I would have ended up being a banker. I kind of fell into banking because I worked at a clinic, an urgent care clinic that I was not a fan of. I tell people all the time, I got shown things that I'm not a doctor and I cannot diagnose that, but I can't get that image out of my head. And so I needed to come, you know, work somewhere else, get some different hours. And so I applied for a bank as a teller job, honestly, not really knowing what you do within a bank, got hired. And I remember one of my first experiences getting hired on was going through training. It was a couple of weeks in. We're actually moving, you know, this Natalie. So mm-hmm. I was going through old paperwork and I just recently found the letter that my trainer sent me that was like the introduction into, hey, welcome to the bank.
Oh my
Here's
gosh.
What we're going to talk about. And it just kind of made me tear up because it's kind of come full circle. Because
I started beginning.
Yes, and I started in banking back in 2011. So it's been 9 years now. But anyways, I remember going through training and I really, really appreciated that side of the bank. So then I went on, I opened some new accounts. I helped out wherever was needed. I was in college, I should have mentioned that earlier. So with no intent to stay in banking, my degree is in communication. I thought maybe working for a consulting firm or I don't really know that I thought anything about what to do in college, but I didn't think I would stay in banking. The moment I realized that banking could be my career was I had just graduated. I had started some of my graduate work and there came a position open in the training department. And I was so excited. I applied. Obviously, it worked out. I got into training and never looked back. And I like the side of training because it touches every side of the bank. So training isn't just focused on one area. So if you're a new accounts person, you're just opening new accounts. And there's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. that, but I like being able to see all the different areas of the bank, know all the different people, be involved in all the projects, and that's what training does for me. And I've just been able to grow in that role, to grow in the education, to take the information that I know and send it to others. I'm a big fan of not just one person being the knowledge owner of information. I think that's a disservice to your organization.
And it could be a risk.
Well, yeah, and to your employees too. It's not fair to have just one person who's the owner of the knowledge. And so my goal anytime I'm talking to anybody, whether it's in training or outside of training, is how can I transfer that knowledge to you mm-hmm. so that now you have a little bit more information and you can be a go-to person as well. So yeah, that's kind of my overall, how I made it into banking, how I've kind of stayed into banking. I'm not, I guess, technically a banker, but I'm involved in all different pieces and I'm always happy to help in any area that's needed.
I think you're for sure a banker. I've seen you even step into the role of a business development mm-hmm. officer from mm-hmm. time to time. Like you have a great, I think your personality equips you to deal with people. And mm-hmm. we all know that part is a huge piece of being a community banker, that relationships are so essential both within the walls of the bank and outside the bank too. I love the story of how you joined Grand Savings Bank because we had just finished up a strategic planning session and we had this glaring need for a trainer. And you and I had consequently LinkedIn, I don't know what to say. I guess LinkedIn, if that's the verb there. So we had LinkedIn a few weeks before, mm-hmm. and there was something about your profile that, and this is very rare because it's rarely, usually people on LinkedIn kind of freak me out. No offense to anyone listening, but I feel like there's a lot of creepers there these days. But there was something about you, and of course we had a mutual connection in that you were at a previous financial institution that I had worked for. And so you just really stood out in my mind. So we exited that strategic planning session with that one main goal. And I knew immediately who to reach out to because you were in training there. And so we had coffee. And I think you were probably like, why in the world are we having coffee? And ended up with a job.
I know. It was one of the most just amazing stories, like one of the hugest blessings in my life, I think. And I think at the appropriate time, I think things just work out when they're supposed to. And I remember when you reached out to me, it was on my brother and sister's birthday. I'll never forget because it's October 26th. I happened to be doing a shopping trip in Branson. And so my brother and sister had said, hey, can you take us out? And I'm sorry, Hope and Howard, but I lied to them and I said I was working, but I was actually in Branson when your message came in. But yeah, we met for coffee. If you know me, I love all things coffee and it just kind of grew from there. And so what an honor. You know, it's truly been one of the biggest highlights of my life and it's wonderful to work here.
Well, you're such an asset to our team. And so everyone else back off. you can reach out to Jackie and get to know her, but back away, I don't want to ever limit somebody like that. But we are just so, so glad to have you here. You're such a fun person to have in the office. Your personality rubs off on others. And what a great quality to have as a trainer. I mean, to see you in action is so fun too, especially with the new employees that may be kind of nervous. They're coming in. Of course, we haven't had one mm-hmm. in person in a while. But you're able to really connect everyone and get everyone going, but such a knowledge base too. Like, you're the go-to. Everyone comes to you for all that info.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, if you're considering bringing in a personality assessment or, you know, creating your training department, you know, just think of ways in which you can always engage the employees. I think that's such a big key in all of this. How can we be making the employees better? How can we be engaging them? How can we get them out of that nervous zone? You know, you think about when you come into a new place, you're nervous. So you have to break down. It's called the reptilian brain, which is kind of what makes you get those anxious feelings when you're in a new situation. But how do we break that down to make this be a situation where we're both going to just get something out of it? And you know, just consider that. What does engagement look like? What does it look like for us to have a better team? What does it look like for us to be a better organization?
Well, I know that your appreciation for birthdays certainly plays into that.
Yes.
I've never in my life seen someone be able to take a birthday to the next level, like Jackie Serrano.
Yeah.
My birthday was last weekend before last, whenever. And I've never had anyone go to the level of detail that you did. She knows that I like plants. We all know that. And everyone wore a floral shirt or green, and they did. And then I had cupcakes that looked like succulents, had a little cacti, and all my gifts were plant-themed, not plant-based, but plant-themed. Right. It was just so cool. But I think that your attention to that kind of detail and really, like, tuning in on what is important to other people. I mean, you just make it to where people just really feel valued. Yeah. And I think that that's such an awesome quality.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I think, you know, hopefully people's takeaway is, you know, we all have value in the organization. It looks a little bit different. I happen to be very people oriented. So details that have to do around, that revolve around people, I will always remember. Mm-hmm. I won't always remember other details. But I will remember those around people. But that's good for you to know and what my potential is within the organization. And there's some people that don't have that skill, but they have other skills. So bringing in these assessments, you can really see where people are shining, what they're good at. And hopefully that also lets them know, if I'm in a role where I feel inadequate or I feel exhausted all the time, or me and my supervisor just aren't meshing very well, well, maybe do we need to realign you? Does that look a little bit different? And so I just think having that information is so impactful for leadership, for the employees. It engages in a whole different level. And it's fun, too. Sure. People love that type of stuff.
Well, you're not leading blindly. Like, you actually, I don't know that you would call it data. Maybe it's data. But you have good information on how to appropriately develop your team.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see how it'll continue to develop our team and then obviously love what it's already done.
Yeah. And it'll bring out some conversations that, you know, through DISC, at least in our organization, I've seen some conversations blossom that probably would have never happened without that. So again, it's just a tool for you to be able to use to give the employees the tools that they can use to improve their career, improve their personal lives. And I think overall, that's probably what we're all aiming for anyways.
For sure. So as we kind of wrap up here, I know that you had mentioned that there are some Instagram accounts that you like to follow, specifically for Enneagram, because there's some that are just really visually appealing and fun. And I've loved some of the memes. I even saw, like, Enneagram according to Leslie Knope.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm loving all the different comparisons that are coming out there. But what are some of your favorite accounts that our listeners might be interested in following?
Absolutely. So I would say I have three that have a variety of information, which I appreciate. I like when they talk about the personal side and then sometimes the more professional side. I like when they have a variety of just general information. And they have diversity in the type of information that they present as well. So my top one, because she is local, is Brush and Barley on Instagram. She's really great. I've worked with her before on some Enneagram portraits, and I really appreciate her work. The next one is another one that is somewhat local to us, but I've also worked with her, and her name is Chalk and Leaves on Instagram. Another really great account to follow, has some really fun depictions of the Enneagram. And my last one is going to be the Black Enneagram. It's a newer Instagram that I've started following, but I really like the information that's presented, and the format's a little bit different than any of the others I've seen out there.
Well, I know that others are going to be really interested to check those out. I'm sure they're going to check you out. Everyone stay away from Jackie. I'm just kidding. You know I'm kidding.
I know.
Kind of kidding. No, we love Jackie. We're so, so thankful to have you here on the Grand Savings Bank team, but I even more appreciate the fact that I can call you friend. We send each other some fun TikToks from time to time.
We do.
Mainly plant ones.
mainly plant ones, because we're the two in the office that probably are more interested in plants mm-hmm. right now. And so, you know, I don't want to bombard our other coworkers with all this information that they maybe don't really care right. about.
You can send that my way anytime.
Yeah,
friend,
so lots
anytime.
Of lots of fun stuff.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you again, and we appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Be sure to subscribe to the Girl Banker podcast so that you don't miss an episode. And follow me on Instagram at The Girl Banker. The views and opinions expressed in the Girl Banker podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency. It is produced by Natalie Bartholomew and Bobby Hudspeth.